desires are most often to be otherly and not necessarily just for ourselves. So let us pray. Almighty God, you are the one who opens our eyes to all things. We are grateful that you have opened our eyes and our minds and our hearts to your Son, Jesus Christ. It is he who helps us to see beyond ourselves, be able to know that there is more to life than what I want. But Lord, you have called us to be there for you, to be there for those that are around us as you inspire us to be. So Lord, this morning as we gather in this time of worship, as we praise you, we ask that you would also nurture us, nourish us with your Spirit and give us a new outlook, a new vision to be able to see much further than we currently do. Some of us may be able to see those that are really close to us, those who probably would even just include our family. But Lord, you call us to see beyond and even further to those that are maybe just outside of our homes and outside of our churches and to our community. Lord, that is even not far enough. You ask us to see even beyond and to go further and further. There is no limit to where you ask us to be open to your call. Lord, even as we wrestle with those things that are within our desires, help us to understand your desire. Your desire for us to understand what it means to be loving, to be generous, to be helpful and serve. As we talk about greed today, there's so much that greed can take away from us in those things. Because greed is what narrows our vision to the point that we can't see much further than our own nose. Lord, we ask you to open us so that we can be a church that is there for you and for our community and for our world. Speak to us directly to our hearts today. Help us not to shy away from what you call us to be. Because, Lord, we know that all of it is based on love and grace and mercy. Help us to have joy in this, because that is the joy that we have in you. Let us now share the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And so as we turn to our offerings, this is when we open ourselves to how the Lord is asking us to share what we have. As a reminder this morning, you can also give towards the VBS donations to the food pantry or Jews for the Shoeless. If you want to donate to that ministry, you can do that as well as our general offering this morning. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Let's share together the prayer of dedication. God of goodness, thank you for your steadfast love and your wonderful works. Today we stand in front of you with our riches in hand, our treasures, time, and talents. May our giving reflect the faithfulness of our spirits, and may our offering be clothed with your visions and dreams. Amen. Please remain standing for the gospel reading.
Today we are reading out of Luke 12, 13 through 21. Someone from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus said to him, "Man, who appointed me as judge or referee between you and your brother?" Then Jesus said to him, "Watch out. Guard yourself against all kinds of greed. After all, one's life isn't determined by one's possessions, even when someone is very wealthy." Then he told them a parable. A certain rich man's land produced a bountiful crop. He said to himself, "What will I do? I have no place to store my harvest." Then he thought, "Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build larger ones. That's where I'll store all my grain and goods. I'll say to myself, 'You have stored up plenty of goods enough for several years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself.'" But God said to him, "Fool, tonight you will die. Now who will get the things you have prepared for yourself?" This is the way it will be for those who hoard things for themselves and aren't rich toward God. And it's the reading of the word. You may be seated.
Song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How my loss, the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs.
Amen. Thanks, AJ, Carol, and Jim, for all your sharing this morning. Well, while I was on vacation recently, I celebrated a milestone. I am now officially 59 and a half years old. I can finally access my 401k retirement fund without a penalty. Now, I can remember when I asked the HR representative at my first software engineering job, what is a 401k benefit? I can also remember how hesitant I was to give 1% of my paycheck because I didn't quite understand the benefit when I was 20-something. Why would I save money that I couldn't access until I was 59 and a half? Let me just say, I didn't save a very big percentage of my paycheck until I was a little bit older and saw the benefit of tax-deferred savings. If I'm honest, back then I wanted every dollar I made to make my life easier and better in the moment. I never had money to spend before, so I was not sure how to handle it. Before long, I had car payments, house payments, utility bills, and even credit card payments. I just kept spending. I knew I should save, but how could I? With all my money going to living the lifestyle I wanted to. Somewhere along the way, someone convinced me to invest in my 401k savings plan. And I'm happy that I took their advice. The balance looks pretty good right now. But now that I have access to my 401k, I have another wrestling with money going on in my heart. Other than having to pay taxes on what I withdraw, there's nothing outside of myself, while in Suzanne, that is keeping me from spending it. Sure, I know it was saved for retirement when I wouldn't have an income, but that's not here yet. I share this to show that money has power to impact our heart and our life. Money contains the power to skew our view of wealth and our understanding of an abundant life. Money also gives us a false sense of control. You see, whether we have money or we don't, there's something within us that desires more of it. And it's not only money that we desire, because money gives us the means for things and access to positions of status in society. You see, wealth in the eyes of society is the end goal, that the goal that we strive to reach. In our passage today, Jesus gets our attention, warning us that traveling this path is more of a dead end than an end goal. Jesus encompasses our desire for wealth into a larger umbrella of greed. We don't like to be associated with greed, but it is just a matter of the intensity of our desire for something. Jesus directs us away from all kinds of greed and points us toward Himself, who truly offers us the abundant life that our hearts truly desire. And to help us stay on the path of an abundant life in Christ, I want to explore what is the difference between a life of greed and an abundant life in Christ. I was thinking, maybe it is a coincidence that I chose this passage of Scripture just as I gained access to my 401k. Or maybe it is the Holy Spirit that led me to this text to assure my perspective on life was in order. Well, regardless, spending time with this text has caused me to think about the influence of greed being an obstacle to living an abundant life in Christ. And as a result, you all get to hear what I've been thinking. So this story from Luke's Gospel comes at a time when Jesus was teaching about the kingdom of God and the life in the kingdom as he was doing ministry throughout the region of Galilee. At this time, a large crowd has now been following him to hear his teaching. Now, some were amazed and readily aligned with Jesus' teaching, while others, like the Pharisees, were skeptical and even offended by Jesus. others like this person in our text, we're drawn to Jesus' authority with which he spoke and addressed the Jewish leadership and the power he expressed in healings and driving out demons. So at some point, this man in our text decided to interrupt Jesus' teaching to get Jesus to use his power to help him get what he wanted. That's when Luke described the man saying, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus said, "Man, who appointed me as judge and referee between you and your brother?" Simply based on the question, Jesus knew the man's heart was thirsting for something that wasn't necessarily his to have, and that his relationship with his brother was impacted by it. You see, according to the law in Deuteronomy, an inheritance passed down was to be divided, with the eldest son getting a double portion before any remaining sons would divide evenly what was left. See, this double portion came with responsibility of being the head of the family, who was to assure the family was cared for and protected. The man in our story either didn't trust his brother or just didn't think it was fair that his brother would get more than him. Jesus more or less denied involvement and sent him away to work things out with his brother. When I look at this interaction and think about what could be happening within this man's heart's desire and the rationalization of his request, I see how a life of greed is motivated by expectations of what we deserve in life. This feeling revolves around the sin of coveting what others have. Rationalizing, if others have something, then why shouldn't we? Quickly becomes thoughts of deserving it. Our hearts get polluted, then we are driven to get what we want, and or we grow bitter and angry about what we can't maintain. But on the other hand, if we align with the Lord, living an abundant life in Christ, we are just grateful for what we have. We are content, not bitter. This doesn't mean we don't work hard to meet our needs and enjoy some wants. It's a matter of what, or should I say who, motivates us. Before Jesus sent the man on his way, he gave him and all the crowd around him a warning against greed and a parable to illustrate his warning. The warning is this: watch out! Guard yourself against all kinds of greed. After all, one's life isn't determined by one's possessions, even when someone is very wealthy. Now keep in mind that Jesus was talking to someone whose father had recently died, and he and his brother were fighting over their father's possessions. Facing the end of life, whether it is our own or someone's we love, usually causes us to think about our life and what truly meant the most to us. Rarely, when someone looks back on their life, have I run across someone who thinks about their stuff, or the hours of overtime in the office or in the field, or having the best seat at the country club restaurant. However, that's what a life of greed pursues. A life of greed seeks meaning through socioeconomic achievements. Now, this is what our culture demands of us, right? It is so easy to get caught up in the fray of striving for meaning through our accomplishments and our financial successes. Achieve, achieve, achieve is our culture's battle cry. Now, doing well from a socioeconomic perspective is not a bad thing unless it is where we find meaning for our life. And as Jesus says, one's life isn't determined by these things. And also in Psalm 49:7, it reminds us, wealth, it can't save a single person. It can't pay a life's ransom price to God. See, greed clouds our vision and our understanding of life as it was designed to be. Jesus warns us instead to turn to Him to discover this life. An abundant life finds meaning in our relationships with God and others. It is Jesus Christ who changes our heart to see the difference between a life of greed and an abundant life. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, we can relate with others without a coveting spirit and a bitterness that drives others away. We were created to be in relationship with God and in relationship with each other. This is life, and life abundant. Without this as our core heart's desire to love God and love others, we lose the meaning of life altogether. It is important to keep our priorities in order as we navigate our way in a culture that just doesn't have Jesus in focus. And then the parable. The parable Jesus shared described a land-rich farmer whose land had a great harvest. The farmer was excited and overwhelmed by the abundance produced, wondering what to do with it all, and he decided to tear down his small barns and build bigger barns to store it all away. But the purpose for storing it was so he could not work for a while and enjoy the abundance himself. Throughout the parable, it was clear the farmer considered only himself. He thought to himself, he talked to himself, and he convinced himself to do what he did. This inward focus attitude is an attribute of a life in greed. There are two realities that are highlighted in this parable that are rooted in greed that stood out to me. First, in a life of greed, our security is in our own capacity. The root of this issue here is selfish pride. As a result, we don't look beyond ourselves for help or to share. We convince ourselves that if we ask for help, we will be weak or a failure. That's how shame works in us. And if we were to share, we may not have enough for ourselves. This is a scarcity mindset that keeps us from being generous. However, in an abundant life in Christ, our security is solely in the Lord, because we recognize that all we have comes from God. The Lord is our provider who gives us the capacity to learn, to create, to produce, and to steward God's resources. We also realize that what we have, including ourselves, is also God's to use for the Lord's purposes. God's resources are endless. So our mindset should always err on the side of abundance, not scarcity. And we are to be generous with our time, talents, and resources as we look to the Lord and other Christians to help us discern how to respond to this abundant life we have in Christ. And that leads us to the last thing I want to share. In a life of greed, we isolate ourselves. It doesn't happen all at once. This happens over time as we protect our assets from others. We don't only keep our stuff from them. We end up separating ourselves emotionally from anyone because everyone is a potential threat. It is truly a lonely place to end up. Whereas an abundant life in Christ thrives in community. Again, we are created to be in relationship with God and others. There's no such thing as a standalone Christian. We are meant to be the family of God, the body of Christ, the community of faith that shares their lives with the world as the Lord leads us. Consider the abundance that we as a collective represent as Christians across the world. When we would bring all of who we are and what we have together as the body of Christ. Imagine. If we lose sight of this truth, this is when greed steals from our potential and we question the abundant life we have in Christ. So friend, let's leave greed in the rearview mirror and focus on the abundance that we have in Christ and in Christ together. Let's be grateful for all that God has given us. Celebrate the meaning of life and our relationships that we have with God and others, and finding our security in the Lord for all things, and thrive together in community. Just know this, God is generous with goodness and blessing and offers us an abundant life in Christ. So as you leave today, consider this. What inheritance drives our life? The one we leave behind or the one we have in Christ? Amen. One moment. As we think about our life in Christ, that brings us to His table. It's not our table. See, Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. There's that community. Therefore, hear this confession, or this understanding of who we are, this prayer. It says, Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. For Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. And that proves God's love toward us. And it is in Him that we are all forgiven. Amen. When we think about our story, our Christian story, our life in Christ, the abundant life in Christ, we have to think about the full story that brings us to this table. Because God has been pursuing us from the time that we turned away from Him. In history, we have it in our Bibles, it talks about in the garden how they turned to themselves for all security and choosing themselves over God. And then they were unable to stay in a relationship with God in the way that they were designed. Ever since that moment, we've all been in that space of being separated from God because of who we've chosen ourselves over God. And it takes a journey to get back to that point where we understand that we are whole when we are in Christ, fully accessible to God who loves us. That is the journey we're on. That's a journey that's shared throughout Scriptures that draws us close and close. In the Scriptures, it was, you know, an individual and then a family and then a nation and then the world. We are drawn in to the love that God shares with us. And that love of God, it came to be one of us. Jesus Christ. He came and He was there to share what it meant to be one who lives an abundant life. He shared that with all those that were around Him. He every person that He met, He invited to be in community with Him. He didn't push anyone away. He invites us to be like Him. And that was His teaching, to share more and more of who He was and who He is and who He is in us as we put our life in His. And so when He came and He put His life on the line for us. And on His last night that He was with His friends, He spent time around the table. And invited His friends to a new covenant, a new understanding of what life was to be. And on the night that he gave himself up for us, he took the bread. They were used to receiving bread from him and all their meals that they had. But this time when he broke the bread, he took it and he said, "Take and eat. This is for you. This is my body given for you." Do this in remembrance of me. And after the supper, he took the cup and he asked for a blessing over the cup as he always had done before. And he said, "This is the cup of my blood. It's a new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And as often as you drink of it, remember me." And so, in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. Because we can proclaim the mystery of faith together. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. So we ask, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Because it is through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Friends, our table is set. We'll be receiving our elements in the pews this morning. So we will share the bread with everyone, hold on to it, and we'll take it together as the community of faith. And then we'll do the same with the cup. Suzanne, ushers. Thank you. This is the body of Christ, which has been given to you from Jesus himself. Take it. This is the blood of Christ that gives us life forevermore. Take and drink. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we recognize that your presence is in this meal, that your presence is within us in a way that we don't quite understand. But we are grateful that you have given your life for us, so that we may have life in you and life abundant. Amen.
And now, would you please stand and let us sing our closing hymn, "The Charge to Keep I Have," number 413.
Thank you.
And now go with Christ in a life that is abundant for you to have. It's a matter of living the life that Christ gives to you each and every day and following the Holy Spirit where it leads you. So go in peace. In the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.